Thank you for listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast, where we discuss all the news in the world of basketball, including the top storylines and all the games around college and the NBA. My name is Ben Brown. I'm in the studio alone today. Pauline is still in Hawaii. She'll be back tomorrow, so I don't think she'll be in the studio tomorrow. She kind of gets back into California tomorrow. So I'll have talked to her on Monday, talk about her trip, and sort of have a weekend recap in the NBA and college basketball. But anyways, she was not here yesterday, so we have a couple of days to update you on. So we'll talk about games within the NBA. Monday, we had some really, really stellar performances. The Cavs and Wizards put on a show in overtime. We'll talk about that game. And then we'll talk about games from last night, a buzzer beater for CJ McCollum and the Portland Trail Blazers. Anyways, on Monday, the Lakers picked up a 121-107 victory over the New York Knicks. Lou Williams had 22 points, 4 assists, and 2 rebounds. Carmelo was a top performer for the Knicks. He had 26 points, 5 assists, and 3 boards. We're going to talk a lot about Carmelo Anthony, Phil Jackson, and the saga that is the New York Knicks in the third segment of the show with the news segments. So I talked about the Cavaliers and Wizards game. The Cavs win that game 140-135 in overtime. LeBron James had 32 points, 17 assists, and 7 boards. Bradley Beal was a top performer for the Wizards. He had 41 points, 8 assists, and 5 rebounds. LeBron James, absolutely stellar. He hit a 3-pointer off the backboard to send the game into overtime and give the Cavs the edge. I really do feel like this is the series in the Eastern Conference that I want to be the finals. I feel like the Wizards probably pose the biggest threat to Cleveland. Good guard play, big men who are capable. I really like Marcin Gortat. I mean, I really do think this is the best series we could see in the Eastern Conference. I really hope that the Wizards keep playing like they are, because I think they could be that one real challenger to Cleveland. I talked about it the last couple of weeks. I think they're better than Boston. I think they are better than Toronto. I kind of just trust them more. So I hope that the Wizards continue playing as good as they are right now. On Monday, the Pacers picked up a 93-90 victory over the OKC Thunder. Russell Westbrook was one assist shy of a triple-double. He had 27 points, 18 boards, and 9 assists. Paul George led the way for Indiana, 21 points, 8 rebounds, and 4 assists. The aforementioned Toronto Raptors picked up a 118-109 victory over the struggling LA Clippers. DeMar DeRozan had 31 points, 5 rebounds, and 2 assists. Blake Griffin did have a triple-double for the Clips. He had 26 points, 11 boards, and 11 assists. The Utah Jazz playing absolutely phenomenal. They're fourth in the Western Conference at 33-19. They blow out the Hawks 120-95. Gordon Hayward, the All-Star, had 30 points, 7 rebounds, and 5 assists. And Dennis Schroeder led the way for Atlanta. He had 21 points, 2 rebounds, and a couple of assists as well. The Detroit Pistons beat the Philadelphia 76ers 113-96. Andre Drummond, the rebounding machine, had 17 of them. He also had 16 points. Dario Saric, the rookie for the Sixers, had 13 points, 6 rebounds, and 4 assists. He was their top performer of the night. The Pelicans, with a 111-106 victory over the Phoenix Suns, they pick up their 20th win of the season. Anthony Davis had 34 points, 9 rebounds, and 1 assist. TJ Warren led the way for the Suns. He had 20 points, 4 rebounds, and 1 assist as well. The hottest team in all of basketball, though, is the Miami Heat. They are on a 12-game winning streak. This was their 11th win of this, 11th win in a row. They win 115-113 over the Minnesota Timberwolves. Goran Dragic had 33 points, 9 assists, and 2 rebounds. Karl Anthony Towns led the way for Minnesota. He had 35 points, 8 boards, and 2 steals. And then the Denver Nuggets pick up a 111-87 victory over the Dallas Mavericks. Will Barton had 31 points, 8 rebounds, and 5 assists for Denver. And then Dwight Powell, he was the top performer for Dallas. He had 14 points, 4 rebounds, and 2 assists. The Spurs lose pretty bad to Memphis Grizzlies, 89-74. They only scored 9 points in the fourth quarter, did San Antonio, really to lose there by 15. Mike Conley had 12 points, 9 assists, and 2 boards for the Grizzlies. And then Danny Green had 12 points, 8 rebounds, and 2 assists for San Antonio. The Bulls almost blew a huge 27-point lead, but they hold on late to beat the Sacramento Kings 112-107. Without Jimmy Butler, Dwayne Wade had 31 points, 6 rebounds, and 3 assists. Ty Lawson off the bench had a very good game for Sacramento. He had 22 points, 7 assists to go along with 4 rebounds. Last night in the NBA, we only had three games. The Hornets picked up a 111-107 victory over the Brooklyn Nets. The Rockets win over the Orlando Magic 128-104. James Harden had 25 points, 13 assists, and 6 rebounds. And then the last game of the night, as I mentioned, the buzzer beater by CJ McCollum, 114-103. He hit a shot with 9/10 of a second left on the shot clock. He had 32 points in the game. Damian Lillard had 29. He had 6 assists and 5 rebounds as well. Dirk Nowitzki led the way for Dallas. He had 25 points, 5 rebounds, and 3 assists. It was the first game-winning shot of CJ McCollum's young career. That dynamic backcourt they have there with McCollum and Damian Lillard is absolutely phenomenal. It's already one of the best backcourts in all of the NBA. If they can just build a front court, build some big men, get some more talent around these two guys, I feel like Portland can really go back to sort of their glory days of the last couple of years. They beat the Clippers in the first round of the Western Conference playoffs last year. And even the year before that with LaMarcus Aldridge and company, they were a really, really good team. So if they can just build around that, I feel like they could be really back to where they were. And I really hope they are. I compare Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum kind of with the same impact that Steph Curry and Klay Thompson have with the Golden State Warriors. If they can just build some other plays around them, like Golden State got Draymond Green and then obviously Durant this year. So if the Blazers can maybe get a nice draft pick, it's going to be a really deep draft. They're probably not going to make the playoffs. They can get a big man in there to build around and really just sort of take that role. They could be a really good team and kind of remind me a lot of what the Warriors are doing in a couple of years. So I really hope Portland are there. They're one of the more exciting teams to watch and obviously built around McCollum and Lillard. It's obviously a great starting point. So some of the games in the NBA tonight, the Spurs will be in Philadelphia to take on the 76ers. The Cavaliers will take on the Pacers. They've kind of had LeBron James and Indiana kind of had a feud the last couple of years, although it is different now. Indiana not nearly as good when they were challenging Miami in the conference finals with LeBron and company, but it'll be interesting to watch LeBron versus Paul George. The Wizards, who come in really, really playing good, they're hot. They're taking on the Brooklyn Nets. You have to imagine that should be a win. I mean, John Wall's averaging 23 points, 10 assists, and 4.5 rebounds. He's having a breakout year in my sort of aspect. The Denver Nuggets will be taking on the Atlanta Hawks. The Lakers will battle the Pistons. Miami take their winning streak in to Milwaukee to take on the Bucks. Have to see how Giannis and Antetokounmpo and company can match up against the Heat to try and stop that nice win streak they have. The Grizzlies will host the Phoenix Suns. The Pelicans will host the Utah Jazz. The Raptors will be battling the Timberwolves. The Clippers will battle Carmelo Anthony, I guess for now, and the rest of the New York Knicks. The Warriors will be hosting the Chicago Bulls. The Bulls will again be without Jimmy Butler tonight. He's going to miss his third game in a row. He has a heel injury. And then the Sacramento Kings will welcome back Isaiah Thomas and the rest of the Boston Celtics. You remember, the Kings did draft Isaiah Thomas here. He came out of college from Washington with the 60th pick overall, the last pick in the NBA draft that year. My, has he turned a lot of heads, one of the best point guards in the NBA, and now a three-time All-Star. So I guess you can say Sacramento let yet another one get away from them, but nevertheless, I'll have to see how the crowd welcomes him back at the Golden One Center tonight. We'll take our first break of the show. After the break, we're going to talk about college basketball. A lot of good games within last night. One game within the top 25 that took 4 overtimes to decide a winner. We'll talk about that and more right after the break here at the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching. Hey! The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back into the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast. We're going to talk about college basketball. So games from Monday within the top 25, as well as games from Tuesday within the top 25. So number three, Kansas on the road against their rival Kansas State, pick up a nice road win, 74-71. They were led by Josh Jackson. The guard had 18 points, 3 rebounds, and 2 assists. Dean Wade almost led back the Kansas State Wildcats. They had 20 points, 6 rebounds, and 4 assists from the big man there. And then the other matchup, number 12, Virginia hosts number 4, Louisville. And Virginia kind of struggling recently. Their defense has really let them down lately in the ACC. But they answered back in a big way against one of the best teams in college basketball. They went 71-55 over Louisville. They trailed by 2 at halftime. The difference was in the second half, they outscored Louisville 39-21. Only gave up 21 points in the second half. That 18 points difference in the second half really led to the victory by 15. Isaiah Wilkins led the way for the Cavaliers. He had 13 points, 11 rebounds, and an assist. And VJ King for Louisville, he had 24 points, 3 rebounds, and 1 steal in the loss. So now we look at games from last night. We had a lot of games within the top 25, led by number 2 Villanova's 11-point victory over Georgetown, 75-64. Josh Hart, as always, leading Villanova, 25 points, 7 rebounds, and 3 assists on the night. It's going to be interesting to see how things play out here in the SEC between Kentucky, Florida, and South Carolina. After their results last night, all three teams are now 19-5 and 9-2 in the SEC. Kentucky picked up a 92-85 victory over LSU. They led big at halftime. They led 43-27, but LSU outscored Kentucky by 9 in the second half, led by a 58-point half to edge the gap to only a 7-point deficit. Coach Cal, John Calipari, not really happy after the game with his team's performance on defense, especially in that second half. Of course, I mean, you give up 58 points, I wouldn't be happy either. He did say after the game that it's going to be a rough practice for his team today. All 3 hours of their practice are going to be solely determined on running and defensive effort. So not too good. Although in the game, Waylon Gabriel did have 23 points, 8 rebounds, and 2 assists for Kentucky. And Antonio Blakeney, he almost led back LSU in due part to his 31 points, 5 assists, and 1 rebound. Florida coming off their victory, their really blowout victory over Kentucky over the weekend, they defeated Georgia on the road 72-60. J.J. Frazier for Georgia had 18 points, 8 rebounds, and 3 assists. And then Chris Chioza for Florida had 15 points, 4 rebounds, and 2 assists. I did mention leading into the break, kind of teased that one game went into 4 overtimes. And that was the Alabama and South Carolina game. Alabama, not just known for college football, playing some basketball as well. They defeat South Carolina 90-86 in 4 overtimes. You're probably thinking to yourself, the game went 4 overtimes. You'd imagine there'd be more points than 90-86. And well, that's because both teams, quite honestly, did not really play well. I mean, Alabama won the game. They shot 42% and 29% from 3. And then South Carolina, they shot 23 of 88 as a team for 26%, and they shot 5 of 31 from 3, only shot 16%. The difference in the game, though, was they took 50 free throws. They made 35 of them. 25 of those free throws coming from one guy. Yes, 25 free throws from Sindarius Thornwell. He had 25 points from the free throw line to go along with 44 overall. He also had 21 rebounds, just an absolutely monstrous night for Thornwell. The guard had 21 rebounds. I mean, that's absolutely crazy. He played 56 minutes. He's definitely probably feeling the effects today. But nevertheless, South Carolina did lose the game 90-86 to drop to 19-5 and 9-2 overall within the SEC. As I mentioned, Kentucky, Florida, and South Carolina all with the exact same records. So it will be interesting to see how the SEC really plays out between these top three teams here. Maryland suffered a bad loss against Purdue over the weekend by 1, and then they answered it back with another loss on the road here to unranked Penn State, 70-64. Kevin Huerter led the way for Maryland. He had 12 points, 5 assists, and 4 rebounds. And Lamar Stevens, a very good game for the Nittany Lions, 25 points, 7 rebounds, and 1 assist. Butler go on the road to defeat Marquette, 68-65. They were led by Andrew Charbasks. He had 21 points, 5 rebounds, and 4 assists. And then Luke Fisher for the Marquette Golden Eagles had 19 points, 13 rebounds, and 2 assists. Looking at tonight's stories, you have Xavier taking on DePaul. They're number 24 in the nation, are Xavier. Number 14, Florida State looks to impress against NC State. Number 6, Baylor go on the road to take on Oklahoma State. Number 13, West Virginia go on the road to take on Oklahoma. Number 11, Cincinnati, with their 21-2 record and 10-0 in conference play, will be hosting UCF. And then number 9, Arizona, after their bad loss over the weekend to Oregon, will be hosting Stanford. We're going to take our last break of the show here at the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast. After the break, we're going to talk about news within basketball. Got a lot of good storylines here. We have Draymond Green and his intentions of riling up and motivating Kevin Durant. They got a little feisty after their game on Saturday and during the game. We have LaMelo Ball scoring 92 points in a high school game. Sounds all fun and dandy, but I'm kind of critical of the coach and who is actually his father and sort of his insight and tactics during the game. We'll talk about that, as well as Phil Jackson and Carmelo Anthony, the never-ending feud, it almost seems like. What happened yesterday? Well, Phil took to Twitter to kind of under-the-radar blast the future Hall of Famer from Syracuse. We'll talk about that and more right after the break here at the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast. Don't you guys go anywhere.
Are you looking for the very best NFL and college football podcast? Then check out the GSMC Football Podcast. Get the latest football news both on and off the field. From the NFL draft to trades to the rumor mill to the NFL combines, they got you covered. That's gsmcpodcast.com/football-podcast. Get updates on college rivalries, game day insights, and much, much more. It's football talk the way you want it. This show eats, sleeps, and breathes football. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back into the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast. Going to be ending the show after this segment. So actually some breaking news in to the podcast is that Portland Trailblazers, I guess you can say two guard, maybe small forward, Evan Turner, he suffered a broken hand last night during the third quarter of their game against Dallas. Obviously, I mentioned McCollum hits the game winner there, 114-113. Portland did win, but they're going to be without Evan Turner, who suffered a third metacarpal break in his shooting hand. So he broke one of the bones in one of his fingers. The timetable for Turner's return has yet to be established, but he's going to be out for a while. I mean, it's on his shooting hand as well. It's believed that he suffered the injury during a collision with Harrison Barnes last night. He said, quote, I just know I was injured. The guy that checked it out said it didn't look like you need surgery or anything. It's really just about my pain tolerance, what I can take. So I'm not going to really worry about it. I guess I'm just lucky I wasn't in crazy pain. You remember Turner did sign a 4-year, $70 million contract during the summer to sign with Portland. He's averaging about 10 points, 4 rebounds, and 3 assists per game. So unfortunately there for Evan Turner and Portland, but they will be without him for at least a while with a broken bone in his hand. All right, so let's talk about, I don't even know where to start. There's so many good stories to talk about. Let's talk first off about Draymond Green. So Draymond Green and Kevin Durant. So Draymond said that after their game on Saturday, it was nothing more than an attempt to light some fire under his superstar teammate. They had kind of altercation on the court, and Draymond said he really was just trying to rile up his boy, you know, his teammate. They lost on Saturday to Sacramento in overtime. And, I mean, Durant had a really bad game, one of his worst of his career, let alone with Golden State. He shot 2 of 10 from the field, and he only had 10 points. Draymond Green was reporting some bad gestures at KD, and it was a verbal argument that lasted, I mean, 30 seconds, almost a minute. It was a long verbal disagreement there. And he said, did Draymond nothing in general. He said, I was just trying to literally rile him up. It was a tactic, but that's for us to know and for everyone else to really just sort of find out. He said they watched the Super Bowl together on Sunday. Everything was really just, you know, hunky-dory. And Steve Kerr even said that too. He said, it's totally normal. You should have seen the Bulls back in the day. It's just competitive, heat-of-the-moment stuff. And Steph Curry said the exact same thing. It's really nothing. Everyone's kind of downplaying this. And for me, Draymond Green is kind of, I don't want to say he's the leader of this team, but he's kind of the vocal leader of the team. He's the guy that's going to get right in your face, talk bad about you if you're doing something wrong, and really try to motivate you to be better. I mean, KD only had 10 points. Like, that's not typical Kevin Durant fashion. He shot 2 of 10. That's not typical as well. For me, I mean, the guy had a bad game. Like, leave him alone. Like, you can't really go out there and perform typical Kevin Durant fashion every single night. There's games where you're going to put up astronomical numbers, and there's games where you're going to just sort of have an off night. So for me, I think there's more to this. Draymond Green was one of the bigger reasons that Kevin Durant even came to Oakland. He was basically recruiting him all year long. Every time they played, he'd be talking about him. Hey, you know, we could take you next year. I know you're a free agent. You can come here and create magic with us. And I think on the court, they're, of course, focused, and their mentality is to win the championship, especially for the guys that were part of that team that lost a 3-1 lead to the Cavaliers. So for me, I think Draymond Green is just kind of more focused mentally and really wanting to get back at LeBron. And he knows that KD is a big part of this. So, of course, he's going to try and motivate him. But I think there's more to this. I think there's a different way you can go about it. Kevin Durant's one of those guys that is not like people getting in his face and sort of yelling at him like that. So I'm sure they're going to downplay this as something small, and the rest of the team is as well. But if something like this happens again in the future, I feel like this could be something that kind of maybe gives some thoughts and some doubts in KD's mind. Remember, he is on basically a one-year deal, and then next year, of course, you'd imagine he would sign a monster deal with the Warriors and be there long-term, and I do think that's the case. They look almost unstoppable right now in a seven-game series, and I would imagine, I mean, I don't know who could top them. Cleveland's still there, but they're kind of going through some troubles right now. The Spurs are good, but I don't really see it happening with this team. So, I think there's honestly more to this, though. I think KD is maybe going to take this and say, I'll forgive, but I won't forget, sort of in that aspect, because he's not one of those guys that likes people taking shots at him like that. And we saw what happened between he and Russell Westbrook. They had that harsh, harsh split up, and it was never the greatest sort of relationship between the two during their time in OKC. And I hope for Golden State's sort of instance that the same thing doesn't happen between KD and Draymond Green. So we're going to switch gears real quick. We're going to talk about Carmelo Anthony and Phil Jackson. So I think in sports in general, every major organization has just some organizations in there, some teams that are a complete mess. In the NFL, I feel like the Niners are a mess right now. I feel like the Chicago Bears are a mess. The Cleveland Browns are trying to sort of revitalize their system and change some of their tactics, but they're a mess. Those three teams are a complete mess. In the NBA, the Sacramento Kings have been the laughingstock of the league since about 2004. They've been in the lottery every year since 2004. So now pushing 13 years. They're a complete mess. The Chicago Bulls right now are an absolute mess with everything that's going on with there between Rondo and Butler and Wade and Derrick Rose even before that. So they're a complete mess. But honestly, I don't think there's any bigger mess of an organization in all of sports right now than the New York Knicks. Phil Jackson yesterday doing something that, honestly, I don't know what the man is thinking. So the last couple of weeks have been really, really tough on Carmelo Anthony. Is he going to be traded? Is he not going to be traded? Is he going to Cleveland for Kevin Love? Is he going to go to the Clippers, the Celtics? Like, what is going on with Carmelo Anthony? That's kind of calmed down. Now we have Carmelo saying, you know, it's definitely playing an effect. I mean, I talked about it on Monday. He's trying to really not worry about all this sort of circumstances surrounding him and stick to his play on the court, which is obviously hard. I mean, you have to not think about that stuff. It can't be in the back of your mind. It's going to be, of course, something you're thinking about all the time, your future and your relationship with your president, Phil Jackson, and ownership with James Dolan. And it's definitely surrounding and it's putting thoughts in your mind. So yesterday, Phil Jackson replies on Twitter to an article that a guy named Kevin Ding, he's a columnist for Bleacher Report, basically said about Carmelo Anthony. In the article, Ding basically criticized Carmelo for his attitude and his play on the court and how it's really having an effect on the New York Knicks team. Obviously, he's a columnist. It's his job to report on that, make stories, get clicks. So he's obviously doing his job. So Phil Jackson does something that we normally don't see from the Zen Master. He actually replied and made a comment on something. I mean, this is the same team where Derrick Rose went AWOL for a day, didn't even show up to the team. They had no idea where he was. And Phil Jackson didn't even have a comment on the situation. He literally said nothing about it. So for Phil to reply simply on an article that a columnist made for Bleacher Report honestly really surprises me. But this is what he said. He said it on Twitter. This is a tweet. He said, "Bleacher's ding almost rings the bell. But I learned you don't change the spot on a leopard with Michael Graham in my CBA days." And he spells days D-A-Z-E. Obviously, the Zen Master kind of in an emotional day as opposed to D-A-Y-S. We all know what he's saying, but he just spelled the word out of context. So Phil actually replies to someone on Twitter, which you normally don't see. But anyways, he goes, "Bleacher's ding almost rings the bell." He's agreeing with what Kevin Ding is saying in the column, which is criticizing Carmelo Anthony. So he's taking a clear shot at Melo just in the beginning part of that tweet. The rest of the tweet, he says, "But I learned you don't change the spot on a leopard with Michael Graham in my CBA days." So Michael Graham was a talented player at Georgetown. He won a college basketball national championship in 1984. And he's talking about the CBA, which is the Continental Basketball Association. This was a league that Phil Jackson actually coached for, the Albany Patroons, and he won a couple of titles with them. He's talking about Michael Graham because they had a really heated argument in the middle of a game during New Year's Eve in 1986. And Phil Jackson, in one of his memoirs, one of his books, he actually talked about Graham, and he said, quote, "Nothing I said made any difference. Whenever I tried to talk to him, his eyes would glaze over and he'd retreat to some dark inner corner that nobody could penetrate." Phil Jackson is comparing Carmelo Anthony to Michael Graham, who he says, "I couldn't get through to him. Nothing I said made a difference. His eyes would glaze over." He's saying the exact same thing about Carmelo Anthony. What is he doing? Phil Jackson, you're a legendary coach. Coached Michael Jordan in the heyday with the Bulls, coached Kobe and Shaq, and then even after that, Kobe and Pau Gasol with the rest of the Lakers. You're 11-time champion as a coach. I don't know what you're doing, buddy. Here's my biggest problem of the whole thing. Number one, I don't think he's being very fair to Carmelo Anthony. Talking about trading him and the trade rumors, I mean, that happens all the time. But then you're publicly going out and criticizing your own player on Twitter. I really feel bad for Melo. I have not been the biggest Carmelo fan there is. He's one of those guys that's a glue guy. I mean, the ball is glued to his hands until he decides to shoot it. He's in that regard. Russell Westbrook is in that regard. I mean, these are guys that I honestly expect to never win a title in their career. But that does not mean they're not going to be Hall of Famers. Because Carmelo Anthony is going to be a Hall of Famer. And he's also really well-liked by a lot of people and a lot of players in the NBA. Something that a lot of the young guys really look up to is Carmelo Anthony, Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, Chris Paul. That sort of, I guess you could say group, clique, whatever you want to call it. Although Phil does not like the word clique. He told LeBron James that. So I just don't know what Phil's really doing here. Here's my biggest problem of it. When Phil Jackson took over as president of the Knicks 3 years ago, he had the option to re-sign or not re-sign Carmelo Anthony. And what did he do? He signed Melo to a five-year, $124 million contract with a no-trade clause. So you can't trade Melo without him agreeing to it. He has the final say on the whole spectrum. If you did not want Carmelo Anthony, Phil Jackson, then why did you sign him? The only good move you have made in New York is drafting Kristaps Porzingis. The kid's been phenomenal. He's a really, really good big man already. The next couple of years, I think he'll be an all-star and a good piece to build around. So I'll give you credit for drafting Porzingis. But with the exception of that, you have made this team even worse than it already was. You bring in Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah, and that has been a disaster. You criticize Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah for the struggles for your team already, so you're already bashing them with the addition of Carmelo Anthony, who you're bashing now. If you did not want Melo, then why did you sign him? I realize James Dolan's one of the more vocal owners and really has a lot of say in this team. So maybe he told you, you're going to sign Carmelo Anthony whether you like it or not. Let's just say that's the case. Okay, that's the case. You're Phil Jackson. If you don't want to be president of the Knicks, you could be president of a different team tomorrow. I would just say, you can sign Melo, I'm leaving town, because I don't have any faith or trust in Carmelo Anthony. So, James, you can have him. I'll go to Phoenix, or I'll go to Detroit. You know, I'm just throwing out some teams. But he could go anywhere else in the NBA and be a president tomorrow, prior to his three-year stint here with the Knicks. I think honestly, as a front office guy, Phil Jackson's kind of done now. He's really ruined this team. And his remarks about Melo are just honestly not fair. But, I mean, he could have been a president of a different team tomorrow. So I would have said, hey, I'm not a big fan of Melo. Like, you can sign him. I'm kind of leaving town. I literally have all my money. I'm just going to do something else or do nothing, and I'm just going to leave. But that was not the case. You stuck with Carmelo Anthony. And look where it's gotten you. And now you're totally done with him. He's basically trying to force Melo into saying, trade me, like, get me out of here, as opposed to the other way around, which he's trying to ship out Melo and have him just agree to it and start fresh. He's trying to put all the blame on Carmelo Anthony and not on himself. And I really don't think that's fair to Melo. I don't think that's the case. Phil Jackson can technically opt out of his contract as the president of the Knicks at the end of this year, but why would he do that? He'd have 2 more years left on his deal, $12 million each year, so he's got $24 million owed to him if he stays there. If James Dolan's unhappy with him and fires him, he's still going to get that $24 million. So there's no way that Phil Jackson's going to opt out of this deal and just call it over with the New York Knicks. He's going to get another $24 million whether he's on the staff or not. So he's just kind of being a little stubborn here. And honestly, I don't think it's fair to Melo. I've not been the biggest Melo fan, as I said, but he's doing him pretty dirty here, and I don't necessarily agree with it. Before we end the show, we're going to talk about another person named Melo, and that's LaMelo Ball of Chino Hills in Southern California. He's a high school player. He's a sophomore. You, of course, know Lonzo Ball, who plays for UCLA. They have another one there who's a senior named LiAngelo Ball. He's committed to UCLA. LaMelo Ball is a sophomore, so he's like 15, 16 years old. He's committed to UCLA already. So you have like a pedigree trio of Ball brothers going to UCLA in the next 3-4 years. I've talked about him a lot on the sports show. Not so much on this one, maybe a little bit on this one. But last night, he accomplished a very impressive feat, don't get me wrong. But for me, I'm not so much going to bash the kid, but a lot on the coach here. LaMelo Ball scored 92 points in a game last night in a 146-123 victory over Los Osos. This is a 32-minute game. They play 4 8-minute quarters. This kid scored 92 points. He shot 37 of 61 from the field, 30 of 39 from two-point range, so he shot 7 of 22 from 3. He also shot 11 of 14 from the free throw line to go for his 92 points. I got a lot of takeaways from this game. First of all, a 146-123 game in a 32-minute game. This is high school. These are schools. A 146-123 game, 269 points in 32 minutes. This is basically literally just an all-star game. I mean, is there any defense being played whatsoever? Absolutely none. No defense at all. So now let's get into some of the specifics and why I'm kind of heated about this whole thing. So Ball told someone that he was dedicating his performance to a classmate who was in the hospital. So I get that. That's all really fun and dandy. Credit to that. He sort of dedicated to someone else. But here's where I have a lot of the problem. So his teammates were aware of the situation and actually encouraged him to keep shooting the ball and watching his points piled up. So his dad, LeVar Ball, who's also the coach, he said he went crazy. I unleashed him. This comes after they lost their first game in the last 61 games over the weekend to Oak Hill Academy from Virginia. If you're sort of recognizable with high school basketball, you know who Oak Hill is. They have people in the NBA. Carmelo Anthony was there. Brandon Jennings was there. It's basically a college within high school. It's in Virginia. They basically recruit players from all across the nation to go to high school there in Virginia. And it's a prep school. They're always ranked within the top 5, top 10. They have NBA talent in there. I mean, they're a fabulous, fabulous school. So for Chino Hills to lose to Oak Hill is not really much of a surprise. But he said, since we lost, we had to unleash LaMelo Ball. Stop it. Stop. What did you have him in a cage and you finally let him out? I mean, stop it. But here's where I have even more problems. So he scored 41 of his 92 points in the fourth quarter. Absolutely fabulous. LaVar Ball, who's the coach, and also his father, told his team to foul the other players on purpose so they could not run out the clock, and that way LaMelo can get the ball again. Also, he had him stand at half court or even on his own side of the floor and not play any defense. That way, anytime his team got the ball, they could just throw it down to his son so he could score. I think Los Ojos coach Dave Smith, he put the nail right on the head. He said, this is an absolute joke. It goes against everything the CIF, which is the California Interscholastic Federation, stands for. The Ball boys are very talented and are great players, but it's embarrassing to high school athletes. I've been coaching for 35 years. And we've turned high school athletics into individualism. It's amazing to watch a kid score that many points, but it's tough to say that's what CIF athletics is about. And I think he hit the nail right on the head. They're turning it into individualism. This kid already has a lot of exposure going his way. He already has an ego as tall as Mount Everest, okay? He's pulling up from half court to start the game. He's all over YouTube. He's a top recruit in his class. He's number 16 overall, according to ESPN, in the 2019 class. He's already committed to UCLA as early as August of 2015, even as a 15-year-old. They won the state championship as a freshman. You have Lonzo, who's tearing it up at UCLA. You have LiAngelo, who scored 72 points in a game this year and is also going to UCLA. So, I mean, his ego is already really high, and I'm sure the others are as well. Although, I'll give Lonzo a lot of credit. He's not really doing anything flashy at UCLA. He's playing good basketball, averaging about 15 points, 8 assists, 7 boards. He's playing really well. He's going to be a top player in the NBA, I think. But for me, the problem with this whole thing is the dad, the coach. To make this story even worse, you have LiAngelo, who's a top player in his recruiting class as well. He scored 72 in a game earlier this year. He's going to UCLA as well. He is resting him for the next couple of weeks to get his team ready for the playoffs. I mean, I get that. A lot of people in the NBA rest their players to get ready for playoffs, take nights off, back-to-backs, etc. So he's resting his son for the next couple of weeks to get them ready for the playoffs to give LaMelo more freedom in the offense. More freedom? I mean, this kid's taking 61 shots in a game. What more freedom does he need? It sets a really, really bad example for the rest of the team. You're telling them to foul on purpose so they can't run the clock, so you can give LaMelo the ball more? I mean, you're literally just trying to live your life through your sons. And I'm really, really critical of that. I think that's absolutely terrible. I think it's setting a terrible, terrible example for the rest of your team. I mean, if I was a parent and I had my kid going here playing on the basketball team, I would pull him out of that school today. You're not giving the other kids a chance to shine and play basketball in an organized setting. You're literally just letting your son play 1-on-5. And that's absolutely not right. And I don't agree with the whole situation. I think it's absolutely terrible. I think it sets a bad example. And I'm not going to put any of the blame on the kid. Well, I think you can put some of the blame on the kid because he has the right to say, no, I'm going to go down there and play for my team, play defense, try to give everything I can, give him my all, as opposed to just trying to do everything by myself. So I'll give some blame to LaMelo Ball as well. But he's a 15-year-old, 16-year-old kid. The maturity's not there. I mean, he's still trying to grow up. And honestly, he better get this out of his system now because he goes to UCLA. Steve Alford, who's the head coach there, is not going to tolerate this at all. And he's going to have to play in a more organized setting. And he's going to be playing kids who are honestly, I mean, as good as him. Going to be playing people against Arizona, Oregon, some of the top teams in the Pac-12 right now. He's not going to be playing kids, and no disrespect to Los Ojos, I don't know anything about him, but, I mean, to score 92 points, you're getting double teamed and triple teamed. I mean, the talent is just clearly taking over at this sort of stance. So, I get it. You're not going to be playing kids like that in college. You better get this out of your system now. So, I mean, I think this is absolutely terrible. I think it's a terrible example for the team, terrible example to the game of basketball, and honestly, just kind of disrespectful for the rest of the players on your team. You're trying to live your life through your son, and I don't really agree with that, and I think it's honestly bad. And honestly, I think this only gets worse. I mean, you're already resting LiAngelo, who's probably your best player, to be honest, for the rest of the season until the playoffs for a couple of weeks. So you're trying to, and honestly, I feel like that might be something to give LaMelo even more, it says freedom in the offense, yeah, but I'd say more exposure, because he's already getting all the exposure. He's the one who pulls up from half court to start the game, points at the ground, really just kind of hot-dogging it and flashing it. Now you're arresting LiAngelo to give him even more publicity. And I feel like this is only going to get worse. He scored 92 points. I can honestly see LaVar Ball saying, oh, you scored 92, like, I think you could probably get 100. Let's go for 100 next game. Now, let's go to try and get 100 points. Everybody foul right away from the start of the game, and we'll get LaMelo to 100 points in a game. I feel like that's what's coming next. And that's just honestly terrible, disrespectful to the game of basketball, to the other players on the team, the parents, the opposition. I mean, it's absolutely terrible, and I do not agree with it at all. But nevertheless, LaMelo Ball does score 92 points in a high school game, although I'm not the biggest fan of how it went down. That's going to end the show for today. I'd like to thank you guys for listening. As always, my name is Ben Brown. I'll be back in the studio on Friday, leading you into the weekend. We have a great weekend of basketball ahead of us. We have KD's return to OKC. That ought to be pretty funny. That ought to be great to see how they react to him. That'll be on Saturday. And then we'll just sort of get ready for the weekend, talk all things college basketball and in the NBA right here at the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast. Have a good day. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you guys next time.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.